as well as with body. Loving Father in heaven, we thank you again for new day that you have in our eyes every day. Truly, we set worship you, praise you. What you have done for us, you are. In the name of the confidence that you look at the cross, finish, walk with confidence. Let us give the topic of suffering to the cross. It is for our hearts, for our minds, and our hearts. This morning I'm talking about prayer, and I think I've dealt with this some time ago. Theology of prayer, and the issue really is this: if you believe in the sovereignty of God, His decrees are immutable, meaning that they do not change. The question is, why do you pray? And if God already knows what I pray. How do these things fit together in the sovereignty of God and the means of grace in prayer? So let us turn to Matthew 6, towards prayer, points to the Lord's pattern of prayer, the will of Lord's prayer, But let's look at Matthew 6 and begin at verse 5. Jesus was speaking of prayer, thou shalt not be as good as far. For they love to pray, extending his arms, and in the corners of the streets, which they may be seen of men. Verily, I say unto you, it's interesting to pray. But there is no reward God of heaven. 6. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father, and thy Father, who seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, use not the intention of the for they think that they shall be heard of their much praying. But you do not keep that for as it is, your Father knows what they need of. Lord's prayer. And here really, our Lord Jesus Christ is setting up for us an attitude of prayer. It is in prayer, do not be hypocritical. And a word hypocrisy is a word that is used in fear to describe an actor. An actor is one who pretends to be what is not. This is this word, in Greek, never had a bad connotation. The word never had an unfavorable ethical meaning. Actors of elders in culture, with drama, these words hit. It's only a holy magnificent among Hellenistic Jews or Greek speaking Jews, but have to respond. Pagan Greek teach to try to conceal their true identity and the secret sins by wearing masks. Externally, the conduct is upright, but if one acts with the younger person that he or she pretends to be, it's one who puts on the facade and hides his true motive behind a mask. With our expression, spoken words are different. From his true feeling, his heart. Although he prayed quite the sepulchre, as we described, Pharisees, the sepulchre of God. But his wife is night whitewashed and painted and nice on the outside. But inside the sepulchre is what is bad and big. So do not be afraid. And devil says do not eat. The Greek word for repetition, vain repetition, is the word for the rebellion. Is hardly used outside of New Testament. And some Greek scholars think that the word drive the verb to stammer or to stutter. And when a person stutters, he repeats a syllable several times over. Theologians use the word to describe this apathy, chanting of pagan prayers, a sound of stuttering, stammering. Instead, in fear, on the side, expression rather than just being repetition, saying the same thing over and over again. Do not try to impress other people, not tense, not pray, seeing men. God knows what you mean if you are. That's the attitude of God's prayer. And then we come to verse 9, after this man of praying, our Father, we are. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts that we give our debtors. But lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Thanks, found on the Lord's prayer of the people of Israel. On one or two aspects of this prayer, shorter, dismissive, larger. The first three verses of Lord's Prayer as the first, second, third petition. The first petition is found in Matthew 6 and 9, hallowed be thy name. The second and third are found in Matthew 6 and 10, thy kingdom come, the second petition. The third is thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And the Lord Jesus prays to say that when we pray, we start by praying about praising the name of God. And the next thing to pray is God's will. That our Lord Jesus uses the term Father. The Father's will must be done above all else. Our Lord Jesus says that one of the ways, the final, glorious, and the triumphant, and the perfect, all-encompassing will of God is going to be accomplished in our time. And into the end of time, one of the ways God's will will be accomplished is by pleading God that His will be done here and now. So there are two truths that we have to know. God has a will. Secondly, our pleading Him for Him to have accomplished that will is one of the means He uses to carry the truth. God has a will. In other words, way to put it is God has a definite plan, or rightly this is one verse 9 says, having made known unto us the mystery of this will, according to his good pleasure, which he had purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both Christ and even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of the Lord. This means that God's plan encompasses everything that can possibly happen from the beginning to the end. For John Calvin said, every prophecy, every prophecy, fall of every saddle, number of hairs on our head, all of every kingdom, the outcome of every election, the birth of every child, the death of every person, is all encompassed in the will of God. And Paul says, God has thought all things after the counsel of his own will. Ephesians 1 and 7. Note that Paul says, God has thought all good things after the counsel. God puts up all things, good as well as bad, according to His will. And that is why we can constantly declare of what the Apostle Paul said in Romans 8 and verse 28. In all things, together to good, and we love God and of all according to His will. For so that you might be the firstborn of among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, and all, and whom all, and he also justified, and whom he justified, and he also glorified. And there are some who interpret verse 28 saying that God causes good things to work out for good. But God has nothing. And if God has nothing to do with that, I say, if that's the case, if he uses the influence of something to God, then I can do this for over the evil that happens. But God's sovereignty covers the good God will good things up. If God's sovereignty will cover good things that happen, you'll be an awful world for us. Look at how much evil there is. Look at the machinations of Satan. First thing that Satan has ever done was the Son of God according to the flesh. That's the worst thing. But even in that case, God worked out all things. The sermon on Pentecost, Christ being delivered by the determinate counsel and the foreknowledge of God, wicked men have taken, wicked hands have the work of evil, even the killing of the Son of God. That, but what was the outcome of it? The church, the rule of the world. One writer says, the worst was so encompassed in the will of God, the best and the greatest and the highest came out of the world. My friend, God is a and there is no doubt about it. And the illustration of the day, someone had a plan for this day. Someone had a blueprint that includes hydrogen water. I was in my room throughout this summer camp of this place in 1930. It was a picture, a photograph of people sleeping and on an even ground. I bet someone had planned it on ground, on an even ground. We came up for a comic, lying, with all the car drivers. And it is that the car designers had a plan that makes the cars move. Anyone who has a watch knows what to do. So, of all these with your clever arguments, cannot remove the common sense of a sanctified man. And what is that? That when you look at this amazing, marvelous, complex, yet harmonious creation, the rotation of the planets day and night, and how it is just right for humankind to exist. What is the possibility of all the parts of this very complex facility coming together without intervention and the planning of scientists and engineers? And yet the things the world holds on the reality came about without a paper. Think that if a car requires even a simple sandbox required. But something that impacts and is dependent on the heart, living as complex as the human body, is going to be here without a partner. Some is our safety song, where the glory of God is permanent. Take the most powerful of the world. You can take the most powerful of us. Also, the women want to try. But because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, God has showed unto them the invisible things of Him. Creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made even to the power of God. Invisible God, yes, you cannot see God. And the person may say, I cannot see God with my eye this morning, but talking about things I can't see. Yes, but the person can know God and the reality of God through the invisible, through the visible things that he sees. Unless God fights day and night to go against what God has given him the sense of. Also, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and righteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. And that's what the people do. It suppresses the natural knowledge of God's Bible. Allows him to see the world. And the Bible teaches that God has and the fact that we have to look at the creation in the last chapter of Scripture again tells us so-called process of theology of open things that God could not know the future, and said he cannot actually God hopes for the best, but he does not know what how it's going to turn out. Or anyone knows that right. The Bible tells us that known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. The book of Revelation says this is how the triumph of the kingdom, the marriage of the supper of man, and the bride, blood washed, sanctified children. All this comes together in the preparation of the bride. Now, God is, and he has, even now, I've been put out, though most of them have been away, not yet seen. But God's plan, and the second point I'm making is, in God's plan, he constructed the world in such a way that he put in that person, men and women, created in his image, whoever mind, whoever spirit, to put on his spirit. You are a spiritual being. The devil does not want you to think of the blood, the body, and it doesn't matter what you do. For you're more than just a physical body. You are an immortal spirit, you always be somewhere in the world. And one of the things that you have to have is the personality and deal with God. And that's what spiritual prayer is all about, is relationship with God. God has made the world set up as one of the major ways in which you can carry out his plan is by getting us concern that his will was done. You might say, well, not have God done it. All that is for him is our prayer. When God has created without having not afraid? Not ask what God will do. He doesn't accept us. Not what God could have done. But the Bible tells us how God chose to. And He chose that He will not let His church. Does this mean that the child does not know that God, the book of Revelation, is definitely going to happen because God's people were concerned about the will of God? Praying. Children should say, pray the same. Is the beginning of the institution of the Christian. You see, the praying of the saints is the beginning of the institution of the Christian. The religion of the man, God, pray, will. The Bible describes prayer both as a religion and a prayer. And both of these perhaps are harmonized. Sovereignty of God. Our final section will see Paul writes 9, 10, 11, verse 9, 11, one of the chapters in the multiple chapters in Romans, when having discussed all about God's sovereignty and election and His role in Judah, Israel, and so forth, what's the last few verses of chapter 11? Paul goes on. Theology of election, the doxology of God's people. We do not understand, but still we have to worship God is great. So, the Bible describes to us where we have a month to pray, especially in this part, we pray without receiving. We keep in this one, and not only pray, we have a month. Prayer is part of the revealed will of God. What is the revealed will of God? That is when God speaks to us and tells us our responsibility, our obligation. So our Lord Jesus says, man ought always to pray. So that is part of God's revealed will of God. Therefore, not praying is sin. It goes against the more than that, we are given many great examples in the Bible to imitate that encourages us in our prayer. And we cannot say, well, the sovereignty of God. For the people in the scripture knew the sovereignty of God and they still pray. Secondly, prayer is divine. Hebrews 4 says, we have been granted access to the throne of grace. We have become holy. There is only one time a year, one person can enter into the holy place. And on that day, the high priest represents and intercedes on behalf of the entire nation before the throne of God. And we have to believe. God only answers prayer one day a year. Yeah, I mean. Born of grace. However, to believe in the sovereignty of God, we have to realize that God did not grant us this high privilege. In the secret will of God, He did not have ordained that we could have access to it. He could have ordained everything so that you all still be saved, you all still be elected, and so forth. There will still be a wall between us and Him as far as prayer is concerned. Theoretically, God did not. Instead, He chose to give us the opportunity of prayer. And He grants us access. As far as time is, the open door, and now, every myself, O Lord, I will yet for this inquire for the house of Israel. With them, I will increase them with men like God. God alone. If he didn't, he could offer you all you want. He would get a good. The fact is that he allows us now to speak about himself. Meaning, Lord, pray, your will be done, God's will be done. It's simply waiting for God to come out of evil and out of every word. But you may say, I don't know how this is. I don't know how this is going to be. But I know this, that how can involved in our life. We do not know history. We read about time after. What Calvin did. Calvin lived a splendid life with him. In the midst of the Christian religion, I mean, strangers. Talk about confidence. We assume that Calvin must have lived a very good life with me. And yet, in his writings, we see a man who believes that God is like infinite love. Someone wrote about him, about Calvin, that there were certainly many occasions when Calvin could not square his faith in God's providential care for the world with logic. But on those occasions, this man of God, Calvin was born, willed to trust love. The love and justice. We can constant right mind peace of God. Sanctified me positive and let himself not properly live and determine in his heart. Trust in the love and the mercy of God. And it is because he will not be of that which is just speaking. And it therefore is Christian that we must learn to respond to the divine providence in our faith. One is not an easy matter. Take the occasion of the all trusted in trying to get it to us. So, how should we pray in light of God? Because of God's providence, our praying fosters our faith. We pray in the context of prayer, in accordance with God's will, by the relationship between the one who praise in God. James 5:16 tells us the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous man is much. The relationship is seen in that the man who prays is the one who has been made righteous. It's the dream of the relationship with God. As Elijah's righteousness and our righteousness come from God. That some body is man and God is unequal and God is sovereign. And somehow the relationship is cohesive. What a mistake. Because to understand who God is, you must understand that God is good. But it must be also talked about there is some form of inequality in almost all the and a relationship can thrive even if the party realize that this coercion is malevolent. And so, a relationship when a father says to a child, no, you touched at night. That's because. But it's benevolent conversion. That's kind of and important relationship. Man is weak because of this fact. God is strong, but God is good. Because closer, the more intimate relationship is. And even when the outcomes to our prayers are not what we expect, our faith in God suffers no damage. And pray for of all those things which he has made is his own hand and power that we are indeed his children whom he has received into faithful protection, knowledge, and faith. We are therefore to wait to finish all good things from him alone and to trust completely that he will never leave us destitute of what we need for salvation and to hang our hopes on none but him. Whatever we desire, we are to recognize as a blessing from him and thankfully to acknowledge every benefit for us. Just as God became the truth, God has also ordained for us the means by which we can love God. Those things we can find. Those are the why do we pray God give us the things that answer is that even when we have what we need with our own skill and resources, we have to recognize that by God's providence, in our work, and in our hand, prayer is a part of us overall. Prayer cannot be separate from the overall framework of God. As we pray, God succeeds. It should not be assumed that success is the result of the goal. That means that prayer is more than just a half. That's a prayer that there was a game and prayed up. Well, thank God I'm not like one of these. But someone asked, what if a man works very hard and does not pray? If he succeeds, what will happen if a person cannot pray? Is the factor in the formula to get God to do things for us. When a person fails to pray, then he's no longer operating within the framework set by God. Such a person will be operating in a book of behaviors. But within the framework that God has set for us, our responsibility is to pray. God's responsibility is to answer our prayer. Those who hold it to the apostles only pray and pray hard enough. Imposed upon themselves a burden that is not yours but God's. Can you imagine the burden that you will have to shoulder if you are told that it is by a prayer that your friend will recover from the illness? Can you imagine the truth if he does not recover? But in our understanding of God, God can do it. God's providence also allows us in a perpetual position of prayer. But John 5:4 is the confidence we have in that if we ask anything according to his will, he gives us. James also tells us to ask and not receive what God permits. The lesson here is that we are not to ask things that are really out of God's gift. We cannot refrain from faith. Wrong. It is also true that we do not know what the will of God is for us. In those instances, we pray conditionally. For example, Romans 1:10 may be expressed by any means, God's name, I might have a prosperous journey by the will. the will of God. Or James says, if we ought to pray, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this and that. So how do we pray in the will? One of the ways we pray. Someone said, those who pray in the scripture regularly pray in grace and mind with what God has already chose. Pointed out the deliverance of the children of Israel from God's wrath depended on the prayer of God or Moses, but had prayer, Moses not prayed, he would have stepped out of the framework of faith. Likewise, we not say that God's will will not be done. Rather, we acknowledge that the whole life is under God's control, therefore, in petitionary prayers, we do not decide what we ought to pray for. Instead, we cast all our cares on Him. Let me conclude. He said, and thou said, asking is the rule. It is a rule that will never be altered in any. If the royal and divine Son of God cannot be exempt from the rule of asking, we may have, you and I cannot expect to be perfected in our future. If the Son of God finds a need, how much more need the Son of God? If the chosen nation is to prosper, Samuel must speak. If the Jews are to deliver, Daniel must speak. God will bless all the nations that be converted to him, but all must pray. Pray to thee without ceasing. How this epistle shows you expect nothing except by asking. If we are so men, that's how God, and that's our privilege as God. God means of grace to pray. As much as we struggle with how God answers prayer, sovereignty against our only responsibility. The thing is that God has ordained prayer as a means which is going to come. Now, we deprive blessing of God. So we got in question our purpose. Something here are going to be something that we must pray. He will make a difference, not in the will of God, but in the aim that makes a difference in our relationship with him. That's our father. Father in heaven, we thank you. You can come in the name of the Son of God. Thank you for this privilege of means